Praise God. I just want to read a few quotes about mothers. I'm going to read some of these other ones too. I was going to, then I thought, I'll skip some of this. Before we get into those other quotes, I'm going to read a few of these. I've seen them before, but I saw them again. I thought they were funny. The things that my mother taught me. It says, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. Amen. Said, my mother taught me religion. She said, you better pray that that will come out of the carpet. And my mother taught me time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me foresight. She said, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. She taught me irony. You keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. She taught me the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. All right, a couple more. My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone. Amen. A couple more. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about wisdom. She said, when you get to be my age, you'll understand. Thank you, Lord. Any of those familiar? All right. These are some things that some famous people said about mothers. Abraham Lincoln said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. George Washington said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. John S.C. Abbott said, mothers have as powerful an influence over the welfare of future generations as all other earthly causes combined. A couple more here. Andrew Jackson said, there was never a woman like her. She was gentle as a dove and brave as a lioness. The memory of my mother and her teachings were, after all, the only capital I had to start life with. And on that capital, I have made my way. Hosea Ballou said, education commences at the mother's knee, and every word spoken within the hearing of little children tends toward the formation of character. A Jewish proverb says, God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. Hallelujah. There is something special about moms. Amen. They are special. God put something different in women than men. I know society is trying to warp this and say we're just the same, and it just all depends on your upbringing, and you know that's what makes boys boys and girls girls. That's nonsense. There is an innate something in little girls to be mommies, to grow up and to do what God has put in them. You see, the way a boy carries a doll versus the way a girl carries a doll, the boy will just carry it by the, if he gets the doll from his sister or something, he's carrying it by the hair or throwing it around. The girl right away knows, you know, just coddling that thing, and knows there is a difference. And God has put something special in women, and just part of himself that he's given the mother the ability to do what she does. And this is no exaggeration what these men are saying. Women, mothers are so influential in the life of a child. So influential. There's another quote that I didn't include here that said, the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother, to show them that they cherish the one who's there most of the time with them, because that's the way it typically is, not always. But typically, the mother has great influence over the life of a child. Let's turn over to 1 John 4:7. We'll just read a few verses. It's a little bit different day, but I just want to touch on a few things before we go. 1 John 4, it's on your scripture sheet too. First John 4, verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. That just stood out to me when I was preparing. No one has seen God at any time. No one has seen him at any time with their eyes. But you do see the love of God in people. And particularly, you do see facets of the love of God in a mother. In the way she cares for children, her attitude towards them. Mothers, I just want you to know you're precious. In the sight of God, you are showing part of his character to your children. What you're doing is invaluable. You are forming the next generation. And you have the opportunity to put in godly values into those children and to change generations. Generations. If Jesus tarries, I don't think it's going to be, you know, generations and generations, but we just don't know how long Jesus, at this point, when he's going to come back. But if time continues, what you do in the life of those children will affect generations, affect whole families. And what you do will be passed on, good or bad. And because you're serving God, there are things that are going to be in your children and going to go to your children's children and your children's children's children just because you're serving him. We're not going to get into all that today, but there are things at work in the earth, and people say, well, why this, why that? Well, a lot of it has to do with things that were set in motion even before that person's life. There is a cause and effect in the earth, and it's been going on for thousands of years. But there is a facet of God's character that is displayed in a mother. Why don't you just look on your scripture sheet there. 1 Corinthians 13:4, familiar verse of scripture. This is in the Living Bible. And it brings it out very well. Now we're reading about love. But in context, or when you're reading it, well, let's just read it through the way it reads first, and then we'll go back and look at some things. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Now, God's love, right? This is describing agape, the God kind of love, his very character. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. Now, when you go back, let's look at it in context of relating it to motherhood. So many of these characteristics, you can see them. So think about your own mother. Now, none of us are perfect, right? We all fall short. So don't sit there and go, well, yeah, I wish I were like that. Oh, missed it. No, don't go down that path. Think of it of what, because a mother does so many things. The character that defines motherhood is so much like this when we think of moms. Verse 4, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud. When you just think of moms in general, just think of, yeah, maybe you had a good mom, maybe not so good, but in general, this is very much like you would see a mother towards her children. Very patient and kind. Good Lord. Some things that mothers put up with over and over and deal with on a regular basis, you have to have patience. And you have to be kind about it. Not jealous or envious, not boastful or proud, not haughty or selfish or rude. So many things that, you know, our mothers have done that they just did without complaining, without making a big deal. Love doesn't demand its own way. Now, so many times, mother, you know, goes along with whatever is going to make other people's people in the family happy. Doesn't demand saying this is the way it's going to be. Is not irritable or touchy. Now, we can all have days, but in general, you know, the mother does a lot and is not overly irritable or touchy about it. Does not hold grudges or hardly even notice when others do wrong. Is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. If you love someone, notice this, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. Does that sound like a mother or not? I mean, people will say stuff like that, so somebody face only a mother could love, or the mama's still sticking by this person after all this, right? I mean, there is something about a mother that this is just the epitome of it. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. Listen to this. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. Doesn't that just sound like a mom with her children? Well, always, no matter what, everybody has given up on the person. But mom hasn't. Mom still believes. Mom still believes in the best. And mom will defend the children. Even if he or she's messed up over and over, you better not say that in front of Mama Bear. You don't know. You may not like the results, right? Let's look on your sheet, 2 Timothy 1, 3. Just be encouraged today, ladies. God is pleased with you. And what you're doing is really being a steward for Him for future generations. We don't own our children, we know that. And we only have them for a short period of time, really, where we influence them. And for the rest of the time, they go on. And we set them on the course. But look at 2 Timothy 1, 3 there on your sheet. It says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. See, faith is passed down. What we believe is passed down. We mold those kids. And we have an effect on what happens in their future. In that next scripture, 2 Timothy. See, Timothy is a pastor. Paul's writing to him. Verse 14 says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. From childhood, you have known the Scriptures because you got them put into you, because you got them placed into you and exposed to them exposed to you at an early age, or you were exposed to them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the Living Bible, that same verse says, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he'll remain upon it. Just putting into them at a young age, molding them, godly examples, godly words. None of us are going to be perfect. None of us are going to do this perfect. Fathers, mothers, living in with somebody in close quarters can be a challenge. But God's grace is there. And one of the most important things we can never do is when we blow it, to ask when they're old enough to know what's going on, as soon as they're old enough, if we blow it in front of our kids, to ask them to forgive us and say, you know what? The way I said that wasn't right. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Not because it's tempting, especially if you've made a number of them in a row. You feel like, ah, forget it. I'm just going to let that slide. Well, what that does is start making that child think that's okay and that you don't care, whether they can articulate that or not. And this isn't easy all the time. But if we'll go back and model grace in front of them and say, Daddy shouldn't have said that way. I was under pressure, but that's no excuse. My behavior was wrong. Mommy shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And of course, they'll forgive you. One man I knew is a banker. Had lunch with him one time in Tulsa. He said with children, he said, you could put a cigarette butt on their head and burn them and come back later and they would forgive you for it. They have that heart. They will just forgive you because God's made them like that. They are a model of God's grace, just showing you, oh, sure, I think you're the best in the world, Mommy. I think you're the best in the world, Daddy. And if we'll just do our best before God, God knows our heart. We are all dealing with something that we've been passed down. We don't have a level deck. Now, God's infinitely fair. And if we'll just yield to Him, He'll straighten out everything. But we must know that we're dealing with things that our parents dealt with, that their parents dealt with, that certain behaviors and things that you are dealing with, you got put into you before you knew what was happening. Good and bad. But God has a way out. If we'll stand, that's not an excuse. But if we'll stand up and say, this won't go any further in my family. This is stopping here. Yes, this has come down and come down. If we say, we don't want to say, that's just because of my daddy. That's just because of my mommy and I can't help it. What you're saying is, that's staying in my family, and that's the way my children are going to be. But if we'll stand up and say, yes, I see how my parents were influenced or their parents were influenced, and Satan has had a hold in this area, and I can see it coming up in my life, and I can see myself passing that to my children. But this will go no further. By the grace of Almighty God, God, I see it, I identify it, and I'm saying, that's not going any further. Lord, show me how to get out of this. Show me how to resist that. Show me how to change that so that my children don't have to deal with that. And they don't have to deal with it to the degree. They're going to be more free than I was. And I'm going to give them the tools to change. And God can work with that. He can work with a yielded vessel. He doesn't need somebody perfect. He doesn't need somebody that has their act completely together. That's why Jesus came. All He needs us to do is say, Lord, my heart's before You. Show me. I'm going to do my best, Lord. I'm going to follow after You. If You tell me to do something, I will correct it by Your grace. And our lives and the lives of our children will come up. And they won't have to deal with things that you had to deal with because you were faithful to God and you are changing your lineage forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever despise what you're doing, mothers. Let's read the last scripture on your sheet. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Isn't that what our prayer for our kids are? That you would just prosper in all things and be in health. That's what God wants for us. That's what He wants for our children. "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." Now, he's talking spiritually here, but this applies naturally. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." And the further and further you go in life, you see that this is true. All the other stuff is going to pass by, but for my children to be walking after God Almighty, there is no greater joy. There is nothing greater than to say they're following the path of God. That's the heart for my children, and I know it's your heart for yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful, and He's good, and He's helping us. Amen.